Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 74.
Perhaps my lecture was unwarranted. I am grateful for what you did back there.
Well, you know, I think you'd really like America. We've got the Liberty Bell, Disneyland on both coasts. It's happening.
Gekuchen ufen yum.
I'm sorry, I really don't know any German.
That's all right. I know a little German. He's sitting over there.
Oi!
Oh, my God. She's so drunk.
Oh, trivia, love.
Oh, thinks she likes you.
Shut up.
Thinks she wants a cuddle.
Listen, I'm serious. I've just come out of a relationship.
Something! Wait there. Ed!
2 seconds.
Jeez, look, I'm really flat and everything, really, but I just...
And hold it there.
Ed, just get her off me! Jeez!
What's up with her eye? What's up with her eye?
Now, seriously, Mary, I'm warning you, okay? I'm gonna have to get physical. I mean it. This is it. I'm gonna... Fuck off!
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams. Along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Rachel Zelag.
Swear to me!
In this episode, we are continuing on with our theme of spoofs. And in this episode, we are taking a look at Top Secret and Shaun of the Dead. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. So, Miss Rachel, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, my friend came over and left some wine here, so I'm drinking that.
You don't drink wine.
Well, it's sweet red wine,
oh.
So it doesn't take the spit out of your mouth. It's like kind of bubbly grape juice.
Okay.
It's not bad.
So it's like kids' wine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's called Italia Roscato. I don't even know what that means, but she brought it over and left it here, and I'm not one to leave a dead soldier. So.
I like that. I was told that this is a chick drink.
Surprise.
Which is weird, which is not at all like what I normally have.
Right.
But I'm having a vodka soda.
With lemon?
With a lemon.
Yeah, that's a chick drink.
Because it is the calorie counting season.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. We are recording this the day before it comes out, so it is Thanksgiving, so I figured probably should not have the beers.
Oh, wham.
Yeah. See, Lebowski's on my side.
He's barking at Brad, because Brad, I don't know. I don't know why.
Does things.
Yeah.
Does things. All right, so once again, we have kind of a questionable... if it's an actual true spoof. But in case you missed it on Facebook, Cruz and I aren't really too concerned about the actual definitions of it.
We don't give no's fuck.
Yeah, so it's I think we could reclassify it as films that are a spoof or maybe an homage or you know, a comedy based on something that's typically serious. You know what I mean? But we're shooting for mostly spoofs, although I'm not so sure that our second one is, but that doesn't make it any less of a film. So with that being said, let's go ahead and start off our discussion, and we're going with my pick. It is from 1984, and it is Top Secret.
She knows just what to do. Got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do.
Look, I'm not the first guy who fell in love with a girl he met in a restaurant who then turned out to be the daughter of a kidnapped scientist, only to lose her to a childhood lover who she'd last seen on a deserted island and who turned out 15 years later to be the leader of the French underground.
I know. It all sounds like some bad movie.
Got a girl named Daisy. She almost drove me crazy. Got a girl named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She rocked me to the east, she rocked me to the west, but she's the girl that I love best. So tutti frutti, oh Rudy, tutti frutti, oh Rudy, tutti frutti, oh Rudy, tutti frutti.
time, Zucker and Abrams are spoofing most notably Elvis films and World War II spy movies. I haven't had that much wine, I promise. Val Kilmer stars as Nick Rivers, a handsome American 50s-style rock and roll singer. While performing in East Germany, he falls in love with a beautiful heroine and becomes involved with the French Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Yes. So this is Mr. Val Kilmer in his first performance.
That's right. In his very first?
His first film.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was in this, and then the next year he was in Real Genius the next year. And then in the year after that, he was in Top Gun. Yeah, I'm just going to keep saying Top Gun. It's going to happen.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, so he's in Top Gun, you know, Willow,
The Door. Oh, my God, I love Willow so hard.
And then he gets into The Doors and True Romance and Tombstone.
And then he gets a really big face.
Yeah, then he gets to be a large man after a while.
Yes, he does.
So it's his first film. It is my first time watching this movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I picked it because I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do a Zucker and Abrams film, and Airplane is sort of your traditional go-to, yeah. Right? So I was like, well, I don't know if I want to pick that one. I haven't seen Top Secret before. I'll check that out. And with that being said, like, I thought it was pretty funny. I don't know that I was in love with it.
Okay.
I think that I like, you know, The Naked Gun and Airplane better.
Okay.
But I still thought it was good. I think that part of the problem is that I don't have as much identification with an Elvis film or a World War II film as much as I do a disaster film or a, you know, police detective film. So, but I did enjoy it, and I did have quite a few different things written down that made me laugh, and I thought were really smartly done. So, what's your history with this one?
I didn't even know that Val Kilmer was in this.
Hmm.
Because like usually, you know, I find it or I go buy it on Amazon or rent it for like $1.50 or something, and so then I get kind of like a feel for what it is just by like reading the trailer.
Sure.
But you just drop this off at my house, and so I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just put it in. And so I was like, oh my, like it took me a second because he's so young in this movie.
Yes.
That I was like, is that guy looks a lot like Val Kilmer. Is that possible? So, you know, I go to my IMDb. I was like, no shit. So I had no idea, you know, that Zucker and like that it was associated with anybody. I just thought it was going to be a horrible 80s movie. You know, which like you said, I don't really associate with Elvis films too much. I've seen a couple of World War II movies from the 50s, you know, like Casablanca and stuff like that. So, like, a couple of those scenes, I was like, okay, I get it. But it was actually, I put down that it was surprisingly ridiculous. Because
mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be, it was better than I thought it was going to be. How about that?
Sure. Yeah, I think that that's valid. You know, I think that it's tough because in a lot of films that are spoof based or making fun of something, it is very important to know the source material, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is also important to recognize when it is coming out. So there was a lot of references to pop culture in 84. And I was like, I don't know. I was five. I don't quite get that reference.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's part of the thing where, you know, you notice it a lot in your scary movies and your date movies and your stuff like that, you know, because it's
in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here I was like, okay, well, I understand that this is a pop culture reference clearly, but I don't know that I fully get it. And so I don't know, you know, I didn't exactly have my finger on the pulse at the time. So
you
I didn't
don't say.
Yeah. You don't say. It's hard to believe, really. In 84, I was probably, watching like Rocky II or something.
Right. I was like watching.
Yeah, you were thinking about being birthed.
Right. I did like the songs though. Like right at the beginning when.
Skeet surfing.
Cause like I put the movie in and I was like, okay, you know, I'll watch this, blah, blah, blah. And like immediately I'm like, you know, it sounds obviously like a Beach Boys song. And I'm like, that's what I was like, okay, maybe I'll, you know, get a little bit more into this movie because I was like, this seems pretty ridiculous right from the bat. So like the songs really, because you know, like me, I love musicals. So that kind of added to me, you know, to it for me, because you don't really see a lot of spoofs that have, you know, songs in them. So I thought that was kind of cool. He's ever Walk Hard, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I do love the, of course I love this part, but I think that the boob thing is really funny where she's got like the mounds of sand that are scooped out when the girl's laying face down. I thought that was really good.
The whole premise of shooting shotguns on surfboards and thinking that's a good idea.
Yeah. It's good times.
Funny to me.
Times. Some of the other highlights to me is, you know, for being his first film and for being what he ended up being, I thought Val Kilmer was pretty strong. I was pretty pleased.
Yeah, with that. I did too. I thought I was really proud of everybody for staying in character, I guess, like sticking with the continuous melodrama as opposed to like being goofy.
Because there was only one fourth wall breaking where they look at the camera.
Right, and it was super slow-mo.
Yeah, and that was the, I don't know, it all sounds like it's some bad movie.
Yeah, and then they both are like, boo?
Yeah, they do the creaky door, like, super slow-motion look.
Yeah, but, like, in some spoofs, like, you have, like, some character that's, like, just out of control ridiculous, and, you know, they didn't really have that, you know, because it was supposed to be based on like really serious movies. And so there was anyone that was like over the top. They were all like pretty, like pretending to be serious the whole time, which I thought added to the ridiculousness of the whole thing.
Sure. And I know that, they do have a commentary on this DVD and that the filmmakers were talking about how a lot of the Germans that were cast were people that were in previous World War II productions as Nazis.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, we'll just take this guy. It'll be fine.
That's funny.
So I like the
guy that keeps like bursting into the room with like that's all like shot up and tells him something. That's pretty good. I like that guy.
That is pretty good. The first real big laugh for me, because I was like, oh, haha, that's funny, when they were doing the skeet surfing.
Yeah.
Was I loved the women's tennis team. From East Germany.
Yes, I figured you would think that was funny.
that was a straight Naked Gun thing for me.
Right. But you know what I didn't get is, maybe this is because, I don't know, but I thought that there would be some sort of like, ooh, mwah, you know, like when she put the like metal or whatever on him.
Oh, yes.
But she was just like, down to biz. I thought there might be a little hanky panky there, but no, I guess not.
What can you do? Yeah, there's you know, so a lot of what I wrote here was this one's probably the hardest for me to say, oh well, I think that they did this right, and I think that this choice works really well, because I don't have that history of the Elvis films.
Right.
You know, and
I've seen a couple of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, I probably have seen the majority of some, because I remember my parents watching them.
Sure.
You know, and I remember, you know, Elvis on the beach singing and what have you. But some of the things in here that just absolutely killed me, like I liked, I really liked when he thought he was going up to get an award or be recognized.
Yeah.
And start singing, just because it was so, like, that was an awkward, uncomfortable part.
But it wasn't really, because, like, it turned out that everybody loved it. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it would have been really awkward if it was, like, Zoolander, where he, like, went to get his award and, like, they had to tell him to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that, yeah.
I do. So I like that. I thought that the little German was funny.
I know a little German.
And so, but for me, and probably not too surprised, well, I don't know if I should say what that says, but the part that I thought that was the funniest was the anal intruder thing.
Of course you did.
I thought that was so good. And about how they don't just play that one sequence and then let it go. You know, they just keep bringing it back.
Right, he's like found in his hotel room and...
and then
See, but even like then,
weird later
yeah, even then they're like spot on, dead serious.
Yes.
You know, there's no like, oh my gosh, how great. You know, he's like, yeah, I'd like to talk about my sex life. You know, like, mm-hmm. oh man, it's just, one of my favorites was the underwater fight scene.
Oh yes, I have that in here too. The underwater.
I was blown like that. I was like, wow.
Now that one, it really is a sort of a movie making, achievement. You know,
yeah.
It's like, god damn, how did they get that to look so good?
It did look really good. He puts the hat on. I thought that was pretty good. I was pretty proud of him. And one of the ones, this is such a thing that I would only think is funny, is the boots when they go under the fence and they they see the boots and they do the look up and it's nobody. I laughed out loud at that part because I was just like, that was perfect. I thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, that, you know, the fact that we haven't gobbled up a bunch of 50s Elvis films and we don't really know a whole lot. I mean, it was funny for me not knowing a whole bunch.
Sure. You know, I do like, I mean, I think that the cow stuff is good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The Blue Lagoon.
Yes.
Like, obviously I got that part.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I do like, you know, the guy and the cow and, you know, they have the, oh no, he's going to get fucked by the cow. But I loved the way that the guy's walking away after the fact. And he's walking all butthurt, literally.
Right. Well, I just love that they use a real cow and they put boots around it. Because, like, I'm, you know, growing up on a farm, I'm like, how the fuck did they get boots on a cow? And then I figured out, you know, they just, like, put it around the top of the leg because I'm like, somebody got kicked in the face.
Mm.
So I thought that was really funny that they use a real, real cow and then just talked. Oh, man.
It's pretty good. This is one, you know, we talk a lot about how, well, this is not a sort of film that you'd want to just pop in and sit down and watch it. You know, we have a lot of films that we've said that about.
Yeah.
About films that are like, oh, fuck, I can't believe the way that this ended or oh, that really was hard to watch. This is one of the ones.
Old boy.
Yeah, this is. We almost pulled the trigger on watching that the other day, by the way.
Yuck.
Yeah.
She would have left you.
She was, no. She was, we were also very drunk, and we ended up watching something and falling asleep on the couch.
Oh, well, then that's the only time you should have put that movie.
That's how you do it at the Williams household right there. But, you know, it's like free day. Oh, let's just drink too much.
Yeah,
fall asleep. Let's do it.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah. But, so... This is one of the rare exceptions, and I think that actually this theme will have a few of these where you do have a lot of films to where it's like, well, I don't really have to watch the film. I can just put it in. I can watch it for a couple of funny bits. I can just have it on in the background while I'm doing the dishes or while I'm vacuuming or whatever.
Sure.
And it can just be on and it's funny and it's light and it's, you know, there's nothing much to it, but it's fun.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that. You can walk in and be like, oh, it's the scene where the guy gets smushed inside the car.
Yeah, where poor Omar Sharif gets smushed up.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's good. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't have a ton to say about that one. It was one where I was just like, oh, this scene's funny and this scene's funny. And it falls very much into the trap that, you know, we've talked about a few times where comedies are hard because it's, well, is it funny to you or not? Because if it's not, there's nothing to say. And if it is, you're just saying, well, what about this scene? That was good.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Did you have anything else about that one before we move on what may be our shortest show ever?
No, I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know anything about it. And I'm glad I watched it. It was pretty cute.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, let's move on to our second film. It is from it's from 20 years. Exactly, actually. 20 years later. It is 2004, and it is Shaun of the Dead.
Please pay attention. This message is for your own safety. Our nation is in crisis. A state of emergency has been declared. Should you find your safety compromised?
It is vital that you do not panic.
Try to avoid detection.
2 seconds.
Use weapons to defend yourself.
Oh no, that's the second time I ever fought!
Purple rain.
No.
Solid tide.
Definitely not.
Oh, dire straits.
Sorry.
And remember, the attackers can be stopped by removing the head or destroying the brain. Right.
No, that's rubbish. Any zombies out there?
Don't say that. No. Because it's ridiculous.
I'm coming!
Here they come!
Are you alright? Thank God for that.
Sean doesn't have a very good day, so he decides to turn his life around by getting his ex to take him back. But he times it right for in the middle of what may be a zombie apocalypse. But for him, it's an opportunity to show everyone he knows how useful he is by saving them all. All he has to do is survive and get his ex back.
I like how you doubted that IMDb would dare to not have it grammatically correct.
Grammatically correct.
Like, wait a minute, is this right? Oh, it is, okay.
Anchormanning my way through this, like I usually do. I'm Ron Burgundy?
Oh, that's good. So this is the film, like we mentioned, that this may or may not be a spoof. And I mean, ultimately, for me, it doesn't matter, right? Because I feel like it. If it's not, it's on familiar territory. It's, you know, Dawn of the Dead,
right?
Day of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead, right?
Yeah,
we've seen zombie films that are very similar, and so while it doesn't necessarily like take specific moments from a different film and regurgitate them,
sure,
I feel like it does do something close to that.
Well, it regurgitates cliches of zombie movies.
Sure, that's true, and it does. You know, I think that it doesn't really break the fourth wall in that they're not knowing that they're in a movie.
Right.
But I don't know. I think for me it's again close enough. It's close enough to where I'm not going to be like, "Oh, Cruz, you selected this one, but we're going to talk about something different because we have a hard and fast rule." That's not how the show works.
We don't do hard and fast rules around here.
That's right. So tell me about you and Shaun of the Dead. What is what's your history with this one?
Is this the first one that Simon Pegg did?
This is the first Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Edgar Wright collaboration, I believe.
Okay, because this is the first one I had seen, so I didn't know if I missed a couple in there or not.
Well, I mean, this was before Hot Fuzz and you know that. But
Bun
I mean,
Fatty and what's the other one? Peter or some alien one?
Oh, Paul. That's not the same. I mean, it's the same same cast, but I don't believe that's the same director. Let me see. No, it's a different director. I really didn't like that movie, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't really. You know? Sure.
But yeah, I mean, Edgar Wright is an actor, Simon Pegg is an actor. He's been around since the mid-90s or so. So this, you know, it's not exactly his first film, but he wasn't the sort of person that he is now.
Sure. I think I saw it around when it came out. I remember watching it at my house, and I remember I wanted to see it just from the trailer where the zombie's in the front yard and they're like, "She's so drunk." Right. Just that part alone I wanted to see it for. So, I'm pretty sure the first time I watched it was a long time ago, and I liked most of it, and I think this is probably the second time I've ever seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I saw this. I saw this when I lived with. Oh, you know who this is? When I lived with Brooke and Roger. And boy,
you guys have an ab day, or
and we were drinking Ezra Brooks and Tenhai.
Oh,
and
Lord, no!
It was an interesting time in my life.
You
but so that's probably 06? 06? Yeah, 06, I think.
Yeah.
So. I saw this on HBO On Demand.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, there's this HBO On Demand thing. Because right?
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, because prior to that, I had been living in an apartment and we didn't have cable. And not only did we now have cable, but we had HBO On Demand.
the best thing ever.
And I was like, holy shit, look at all these movies I could watch.
Right?
I could just watch. How
long did it take to discover Late Night?
Let's not talk about that.
All right.
So I watched Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
And I don't know that I really liked it that much the first time I saw it.
Because they're British?
No, I generally like British films, and I kind of, I didn't know anything about it going into it.
Okay.
And usually that's a plus. And this
Had you
time,
seen, like, any, like, what was your zombie movie experience up to that point?
Yeah, I mean, I'd seen some, like, I knew of the zombies for sure, and in film, and I knew of, you know, Romero's Day of the Dead stuff and Night of the Living Dead and all that. But I think my problem was I was getting, you know, I graduated college in 2003. So I was in a pretty similar spot that Sean is, and it's just kind of like not doing much about it.
Okay.
And I was like kind of pissed about being in that spot, and he's not too bothered by it really.
Okay.
And I was like, God, like, what? She's right. You're a real fuck. Like, right? Get off your ass and start doing something, you know? And I thought Nick Frost was, I think he's really funny now, but when I watched it, I was like, oh man, this guy, he is dragging you down. And I just totally was not in the right headspace for it.
Oh, okay.
You know, watching it the first time.
It was hitting a little too close.
Yeah, I guess, for as much as a horror comedy can.
Right. Well, I was like wheelhouse of college, and I'm like, his friend is the best. Like, why? He gets to play video games all day? It's amazing.
All day? You know, this is probably like around when we met. It was around this time.
Yeah.
When I had watched that. I would guess.
You had to watch this crap movie, and then you met me. You're welcome.
Yeah, there you go. And just a complete 180 right there. But so I thought, I thought that it was, I thought it was not very good when I watched it the first time. I have seen it a couple of times since.
Okay. And you grew to enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, I grew to appreciate it. And watching it this time, it was like, you know, it was like the worn pair of pants where it's like, oh, okay, I know why I have this around.
Right, okay.
Like, I get you now. Like, I'm fully with it. And it's not like that I thought it was ever poorly made, you know, because I love the whole Edgar Wright of it all, to where, you know, it's he's got the very fast cuts on things.
And, yeah, the flushing the toilet and the brushing the teeth and stuff.
Yeah, it's almost, it's got a little bit of that Requiem for a Dream sort of thing going on, you know. That's what it reminds me of a little bit. And I had seen, after I watched this for the first time, I went back and watched Spaced, which is the Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright TV series, which is very funny. And he's playing basically the same sort of character.
Okay.
As he's playing as Sean, except his name's Tim. But that's very funny. That's very, very British, though. So it's very specific, I would say.
Tim of the Dead just does not do it for me.
It doesn't sound the same for him.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. So with that being said, I guess the long way about it is that I really enjoyed this. Again, I don't know that I love it. Like, I think I feel like a lot of people love it.
Why? And so
I think that it's good, but I don't know that I am in love with the movie.
Okay. Well, I like Simon Pegg, and every time I see him in anything, like, I think he popped up in, like, Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my god, it's Simon Pegg. So, like,
he's in Mission Impossible, and he's in the two Star Trek reboot movies.
That's right. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. And I like him in that. I'm like, oh, great. And I don't think, like, I think back when I watched this, I wasn't, like, super familiar. Like, I had seen maybe a couple zombie movies, but, like, having just plowed through Walking Dead, like, nothing about any of these zombies was frightening to me.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah.
I was like, no, these guys aren't even gooey.
Well, you know? Even when we talked about, when we watched, like, 28 Days Later.
Yeah, those were horrifying.
Where it's a completely different sort of thing, right?
Right.
And here it's just, you know, they're not playing it real serious. Even when the parents, I mean, I guess spoilers, it's a zombie movie, but I guess even when the parents and his friends are starting to be killed, it's not really played that sad. Like there's the talk about the dad stuff.
Which kind of came out of nowhere, but
yeah, when Bill Nighy is biting it in the car,
yeah,
and that one I was like watching it this time, I was like, ooh man, like that's getting me a little bit, that's surprising.
And then when the mom, you know, and he loses it there too.
Oh sure.
And I was like, I remember that from watching it last time. I'm like, oh god, this is gonna be the bad part. And he plays like one of the things I like is that he can go from being ridiculous. Because he's never over the top either. He's British, so like that's not a thing for them. But like he can go from being ridiculous to like believably upset.
Mm.
And that's why I think he works so well in something like this, where like there are actual sad parts and you're like, oh god, that's awful. So like I think, you know, that him being in this is it works.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure. I think that I think Liz probably has the hardest job. Because plays the girlfriend who doesn't get a lot of good lines, but he's the object of the whole quest.
Right.
You know, so I think it's tough for that character. I think the first time I was a little bit like, oh, come on, guy. Like, just, you know, living with Brooke and Roger, there is a reason, right? But it's like, is it really worth all this bother that you're going through, guy? Like, come on now.
Like, oh my god, you're gonna run into a zombie. Except for the zombies, like, walk in slow motion.
That's true.
I did have to say, when he goes out and gets drunk with his BFF, that, it was kind of like me and Sadie just hanging out.
Oh, nice.
Just being ridiculous. Like, we don't need to be around people even if we are at the bar, and we just, like, sing when we walk home. I mean, that was pretty good flashbacking right there. Like, I know what we should do. We should get drunk tomorrow. That's a great idea. Like,
I feel like that either in the Cruise household or definitely when you go out with your girlfriends, that the make up a story about this person behind me game gets played.
I do that sober. I do that all the time.
It's called writing.
Yeah.
Right?
It's called imagination.
Yeah, you're looking like, what's this fucking guy's deal? I'm going to write about it.
Yeah.
So stuff like that I thought was funny, you know. But I do think that part of the thing that really amplifies the success of the film is the way that Edgar Wright shoots it.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, you know, because he has all the crazy cuts. And they do the same thing in Hot Fuzz, which I think is also very funny. They do that in Scott Pilgrim as well, which I don't think quite works as well.
That's real fast, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that for me, Scott Pilgrim doesn't work as well because I'm not as clued in it to like the gamer world as much.
Yeah.
So again, it's that little, you know, it's not like that I ever didn't play video games. I played the shit out of some video games, but I just never have as close of a connection as
right.
that.
Yeah, I never had to like beat up any of Brazek's girlfriends for coins. So,
that'd be cool, really though.
Right?
It'd be cool if you did. Bet you could, though.
Probably.
Yeah.
Of course.
It'd be cooler if you did.
It'd be cool.
But just some of the things that I appreciated about this was I forgot that it was me doing the intro, because otherwise I was going to come in as the hello, mate.
Governor.
when it's the dickhead coworker.
Yes.
Oh, who keeps saying so that. Yeah. Sense.
How old are you? 19 or 20? 17? Like, I don't even know what you said.
Yeah.
What you said?
That guy, hard to understand, but I do like the way he says hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
Yeah, and then I like the way that some of the jokes have through lines, like the you've got red on you.
Yes.
You know, I like that.
I did like that, too.
So it's, you know, it's really good. I do think that the she's so drunk and all of that, I think that is very funny.
I did too. The fact that he's like walking through like to the store and back and has absolutely no fuck, that's like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no idea sometimes about what's going on around me.
I find that very difficult to believe.
The other thing that I like is, or like, I guess, I'm not really sure about, is that they keep them at the end.
Yeah,
your own zombie.
He keeps Ed. He keeps Nick Frost.
Yeah, but like everybody else, like all the other zombies, shot. They like cart people and like.
Yeah,
and like those are
game
like
shows with them and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean like there are a lot of liability issues like. I got bitten by the cart guy, and now I'm going to be a zombie. Like, I'm going to have to sue the grocery store kind of a deal, so.
It's really hard on those family members to watch him in the game show all the time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know?
I'm suing you. Well, I mean, like, otherwise we could just shoot your zombie brother in the head. I mean, whatever you need us to do is fine.
I mean, what we're getting to is the logistics of it all is just a nightmare. You know? Right. What a mess.
And, like, do you feed them? I guess.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't feed him. Fuck it. It's like the Walking Dead.
Well, that's like the funniest part because like Walking Dead, you shoot him in the head no matter what. And like, I Am Legend that you like try to find a cure.
Well, but I think those are zombie vampires. I mean, that could be anything.
That could be right. But this one, you just keep them. You just accept them for who they are and keep them. So it's an interesting twist.
You can do whatever you want. That doesn't matter.
The other plot point is at the very end when he decides that he's a changed man, their plan is that they're just going to hang out all day and watch TV. Like, did she just accept the fact that she doesn't? Like, I feel like they glossed over him being a changed man because he's in the same house and his friend technically didn't move out.
Well, now he's just bold-faced lying to her. Or he's like, I got to go to the shed for a little bit. I feel like he says he's going to go do something else.
No, he goes, I'm going to the garden. She goes, oh, okay. Like, she knows.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't think he said shed specifically, so I figured, you know, he was going to do something else.
I don't know.
But I don't remember, I guess.
Video games with his weird zombie friend.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she just sits in there and dreams of a better boyfriend.
Of a better life. Of a one that got his arms ripped off.
And his legs ripped off.
Yes.
David.
That was gross.
David and Di, that was really gross. That was kind of surprisingly gory.
But like I said, like it doesn't faze me anymore.
Well, sure, but I mean because they rip his arms and legs off, and you're like, oh, whatever, it's the Black Knight.
And then his insides.
Yeah, and then when they rip his insides out, you're like, whoa, what?
Yeah, one that affected me the most is when his poor mom like pulls her sleeve down and half of her arm is gone. And I'm like. I'm not sure that I could cover that up. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if that happened to me, I'd be like, fuck it. You know, like, I wouldn't be, like, quiet about it, so.
Yeah, it was weird because I think that there was times where it's trying maybe to be gory.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And be a little bit, and so, you know, I saw that one sequence, I was like, oh, gross. But then I immediately thought, well, why is that in there? Like, I'm not scared. I'm not scared by the film. I'm not feeling that sort of fun, oh shit, what's going to happen next kind of thing that you get from a horror film. I was just kind of like, ugh, why is that here? Gross.
Is it because like we're supposed to not like that character so much that like we want to see that happen to him? Because I was okay with it.
Yeah, well, I know that, and I was just kind of like, oh, that's gross. Why, you know, like, what the fuck are they doing that for?
Right. Maybe they just needed, you know, because like in most zombie movies, something gross like that happens. So
yeah, well, it was a little ridiculous, and so you know, because they were just pulling out like the pasta, it was basically like pasta or like a inside of a squash or something. You know, there's just strings and guts and shit everywhere. So
spaghetti, oh yeah.
So it was a little bit ridiculous.
I agree.
But yeah, so I don't know. I think that this was. I think that I liked this one slightly more than Top Secret, only because I have more history with the horror films in general. Even though I have, even though I didn't really care for it the first time that I watched it, so it's kind of interesting to me. I do like this more than I like Zombieland, if I'm being honest, though.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like that's a little bit similar to this, to where it's trying to be funny and trying to be scary.
Dang, I don't know. I mean, that might be a toss-up for me, to be honest with you. Hmm. I don't have, like, a pure winner on that one.
Well, there you go.
Because, I mean, I really enjoy British films. And
you gotta, that accent goes a long ways, right?
That Cockney accent. I just love it so hard.
Yeah. It's good. All right, well, do you have anything else before we get out of here, Cruz?
No, I really don't.
Okay, I don't either. You know, that's one of the things about these where it's like, well, there's not, you know, I don't have a lot of notes. There's not a lot to say. You know, if we're looking at the grand scheme of things, it's like, well, it is Thanksgiving, right? Are you really going to be listening to it right away?
No.
Probably not. And if you are, we had an episode last week that came out that was on the entirety of Lost that was 12 hours long. So
the episode was 12 hours long?
The episode was 12 hours long.
Are you kidding?
I'm being completely serious. Granted, it took us over 2 years to do. Because we talked over each season.
Do you feel like you kind of like... Wow, that is a long time to talk about one show.
That's a long time. Damn. That's what I'm expecting from you when we talk about the show that we haven't said that we're going to talk about yet.
I can't watch it for 2 years?
Yeah, but it's like six episodes. You'll be fine.
I already watched them all.
No, we have to finish up still.
Yeah, now you can because you got that goddamn beast of a Lost out of your way.
That's true. That's true. We've had all this free time, so it's like, oh my god, what do we watch? Holy shit, look at all these options.
Look at all the things that aren't Lost.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so that show has sort of defined Annelle and I together because it's, you know... We restarted it when her and I lived together.
She's like, I don't know who you are without Lost anymore.
And what's funny is that we've been done with it in real time for about 2 months. Two, three months.
So you're saying if somebody's in the car with their parents traveling for 12 hours somewhere for Thanksgiving.
We got the hookup.
You got the hookup.
Yeah. So you put the, you know, you put these two together and still on average, it's a pretty long couple of weeks.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Nice. Listen to all of them in a row.
There you go. Yeah. You know,
if we're like cereal.
Yeah. We're just like cereal. Shit. It's a
really good show. First one.
It's a really good show.
It's amazing.
I don't think you did it. All right, well, closing us out, if you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you can follow me. I'm @ericwilliams79, and you can follow Rachel. She's @ladyzlag. We also have a Facebook page for the show where you could like it. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. If you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of movies we want, equipment we need, and a whole host of other goodies over there if you're in a giving mood.
Liquor.
That's right. Maybe. Just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast, and thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with two more spoofs.
If everybody had a 12-gauge and a surfboard too, see him shooting and serving, hear them Malibu, because it's totally bitchin', riding waves and glass clay pigeons, and it's so neat shooting ski while you're riding out the heavies all day. First wave, don't get tired, second wave, aim higher, third wave, pull it higher, between surfing. Track. Tell the teacher we're shooting, we're never coming back. I've got a gun rack in my Chevy for when the surf and the flat get heavy, and we'll have fun with our guns till our lifeguard takes our ammo away. First wave, don't get us higher. Second wave, aim higher. Third wave, pull on us higher. Second wave, pull up a strap and surf. Third wave, how is that? It's alright. Sharing sunset.
all could be double-barreled. Wish they all could be double-barreled guns.